What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, on the last show, we talked with Fernando Ramirez from NBC about the Melvin Gordon situation and just the position that he's in right now, what his options were, how his teammates were feeling about it. But on today's show, we're going to get a little bit more into it, and we're going to hear John Kegley's take on it because he wasn't here when all of this news dropped. So I'm excited to hear what he has to say about it. Lewis Bensman said on Twitter what he would like to happen, so we'll talk about that a little bit. Thanks, Lewis, for writing into the show. And also, we're going to talk about just what he actually can do as far as leverage sake. How long can he sit out before he loses money? When does he have to come back if he wants that contract not to go into the next season and still have to get paid the same amount? All of that stuff in the first segment. And then there's a couple articles I saw that I was excited to talk with you guys about. The first was the best offensive arsenals in the NFL. So the Chargers came in 11th. On that list, which was a little surprising to me. And there's one specific team I have a really big problem with because it was still including Melvin Gordon. So that didn't even really factor into this situation. And then in the last segment of the show, we have a list that's more properly ranked. We have NFL.com coming out with an article about the best defensive triplets in the NFL. Well, guess who came in at number one? So we'll wrap things up today with that. But back to Melvin Gordon. So I know we've talked about Melvin Gordon a lot. Things keep coming out. I mean, the last thing that we saw from Melvin Gordon was him in Dallas at SportsCon saying, hey, I want to stay with the Chargers. That's the number one scenario that I could have. He basically was saying, you know, he just has to do what he has to do to get his money right now because of what running backs have to go through on a season-to-season basis. He doesn't know how many of these big contracts he has coming, but basically said that's his home. That's the team that picked him and took a chance on him in the first round when any other team could have had him. Basically, he's saying, I guess, with a trade or something. But they were the only team that picked him. But, John, I am excited to hear what you have to think about this because me and David already kind of gave our thoughts on the situation, but we didn't get to hear from you. So, first of all, what did you think when you saw that from Melvin Gordon? Were you surprised? And second of all, where do you think the Chargers go from here?
I was definitely surprised, and I was also very upset because I hate when players pull this kind of thing. You're in the NFL making millions of dollars, and you're complaining that you're not making enough. And he still has a first-round rookie contract, which makes a lot of money, and you're complaining about wanting more. And you're not even doing anything close to what Le'Veon Bell or David Johnson or any of those guys actually do. You play a good role. You play a decent role. You're a pretty good running back. I'm not going to call you great because I don't think you're great. And yet here you are asking for the same amount of money that Le'Veon Bell was making with the Steelers or what David Johnson was doing with the Cardinals. The Cardinals suck and David Johnson made them offense. You, on the other hand, are getting hurt and can barely run for a 10-yard run unless you get thrown outside. So you want that kind of money, you got to do way more for it. I don't like players that do this. When Vincent Jackson did it, I was like, let him walk or trade him. So from here, I think the Chargers should do is I think they should trade him. They have a lot of leverage and stuff with this, but there's no need for this kind of attitude in this locker room. I'd rather trade him for maybe a guard. It doesn't have to be a great guard. It could be a slightly above, maybe average guard, whatever's better than Dan Feeney. Just get a better guard than Dan Feeney and get a couple of draft picks on the side or one really good one. If you get like a first or second round pick or maybe a fifth and a sixth, you know, something that gets you more draft picks so that the next year you get more stuff with it, maybe sign a free agent running back after this trade is done. And then whichever, if say you don't get a guard, say you want to get a tackle in this trade, whichever one you get, Forrest Lamp will play the other. So if you get a left guard, you can have Forrest Lamp be right tackle. If you get a right tackle, you can have Forrest Lamp play left guard. Either way, you're going to fix the offensive line and make the running backs you have better.
Yeah, I think I get why you're saying that. And that seems to be the sentiment, I mean, at least around Chargers Twitter and social media, is that I think most people have just been basically trade him, let him walk, we'll do whatever, but basically seemed indifferent about it. I mean, and pretty much we're all on the Chargers side of it. I mean, I get what he's doing. He's a running back who's, I mean, top eight. Some would say he's top five in the NFL. So I could understand why he would think that he needs to get paid more than he does right now, because I think $5.6 million, he probably earns more than that with the 38, you know, total touchdowns he scored in the last three seasons. I mean, he is productive when he's on the field. But at the same time, the Chargers were 4-0 last year when he wasn't there. Did their rushing attack suffer in some of the games? It did. But at the same time, maybe if it was 0-4, the Chargers would look at this more seriously, only because he doesn't have the leverage, David. And that's part of the problem. He basically, what Melvin Gordon can do is he can sit out. He can sit out mandatory practices and get fined. He can sit out preseason games and regular season games and lose game checks and also get fined for other things. But at the same time, his contract will not be valid this season. It will not count as a year of service to the Chargers if he doesn't play after week 10. He has to at least play after week 10 to the end of the regular season to get that money. Because if he doesn't, then it just adds this year's contract onto next year, and he's still under the Chargers. Even if he was to play after week 10, the Chargers could still franchise tag him, David, and do this all again after, and that's with him playing this year. They could still franchise tag him next year. If not, he's still under contract with the team. So I just don't think he has as much leverage as he thinks he does.
Well, and I think the fans needed to hear that too, and they need to appreciate that the fact that Melvin Gordon really isn't in the same exact situation as Le'Veon Bell is, because, you know, of that simple fact in his contract. I mean, if he doesn't play, he's just going to come back and do this all over again. So the Chargers can afford to wait. They're not losing any money. Melvin Gordon's the one that's losing money every single week that he decides to, you know, sit out in training camp and sit out games. I mean, he's just taking money out of his own pocket. The Chargers, you know, they could sit back and offer them the contract they think that is a fair market value for him until he decides to accept or just, you know, get right back into this, you know, merry-go-round again. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I hope that they get a deal done. I think Melvin Gordon is, you know, really that jump starter in the offense, and I'd like to see him come back. But, hey, business is business.
Business is business, and he's putting a lot on the line in this last year of his rookie deal. I mean, if he gets a serious injury, that's absolutely going to hurt what he would make on the open market. But from the Chargers financially, it just doesn't make sense to overbloat this guy's contract when he doesn't have that kind of leverage. And the public opinion battle isn't going great for him right now, so he doesn't have very much on his side, even as he's, you know, making a public mess of things somewhat to some extent. But Lewis Benjamin said on Twitter, though, was pretty much like what John said. He wanted him to, you know, trade Melvin Gordon for a draft pick and an offensive lineman, maybe a couple draft picks, because you have guys like Austin Ekeler and Justin Jackson behind him. He had actually asked us the same question. We talked about it a little bit on a prior show, but I just don't see a deal like that happening. You don't really see super high round picks for running backs outside of, you know, Trent Richardson, which if you're going by that, everyone would say no, you do not want to make Trent Richardson like trade. I mean, that's about as bad as you can do. But Melvin Gordon, it just sucks. It's a distraction for the guys. I mean, hopefully, you know, they're all going to say it's not a distraction, but it is. And that's one thing this Chargers locker room had, was a really good locker room relationship. And that's what Fernando Ramirez said too. You know, Melvin Gordon was always the guy walking up to everyone and saying what's up and really just being such a positive presence in the locker room. And they're not going to have that for as long as he sits out. So hopefully it gets resolved sooner rather than later. But we do have two more segments that we need to get into. But before that, I need to tell you guys about our good friends over at Blue Chew. You guys remember the days when you always had good sex? Well, guess what? You can get that back with BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises, because if you don't, the opportunity might be gone. The coolest thing about Blue Chew, guys, is there's no awkwardness. You don't have to talk in person with any doctor. You don't have to go wait for it in line at the pharmacy. And you don't have to worry about people seeing it on your doorstep because it's shipped directly in a discreet package. Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. If you visit BlueChew.com, you can get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. All you have to do is pay $5 in shipping and you get the product for free. That's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. All right, guys, now it's time to get into a controversial segment about the Chargers being ranked too low on a list. I know, that sounds pretty dumb. But the Chargers, I think, were slighted a little bit on NFL.com's list of the best offensive arsenals. And it's really only talking about skill position. If you are factoring the offensive line into it more, I could understand putting the Chargers offense farther down on the list. But it's not. It's talking receivers. It's talking running backs. It says it values receivers more than other positions because that's the position that gets paid the most out of all those. So let's talk about the best offensive arsenals, guys. The Chargers come in at number 11 on this list. Some of the Chargers' foes in the AFC West come in a lot lower than that, with the Broncos being at 31. And the Raiders, even with all of the offseason acquisitions that we saw, came in at 23. But then you have Tyreek Hill and the Kansas City Chiefs all the way up at number 2. So some of the notable teams that the Chargers are behind are the Dallas Cowboys offensive arsenal, the New York Giants offensive arsenal, the Atlanta Falcons offensive arsenal. And then, again, guys, it's not even counting quarterbacks, which will probably help the Chargers in these cases because Phillip Rivers is better than the rest of those guys. But, John, when you see this list and then you see a team like the Giants being ranked number 8 while the Chargers are ranked number 11, and that's with Melvin Gordon. That's assuming Melvin Gordon, you know, plays all 16 games this season or, you know, however many before he gets injured. But doesn't that kind of piss you off?
This whole list just pisses me off. I'm seeing things like the Falcons are ranked below the Giants, and all I have to say is Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and Devontae Freeman. I mean, what else do I have to say right there for offensive weapons? And then what they think is that Saquon Barkley, Golden Tate, and Sterling Shepard with Evan Ingram are a better group of guys than what was on the Falcons. That alone right there just shows you that this article is lame. Then when you mentioned the Chargers, it's Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Hunter Henry, Melvin Gordon. If Melvin Gordon's gone, you still have Austin Eckler, who was doing such great stuff last year. I mean, hell, Pro Football Focus had him ranked number 1 running back over everybody else.
For most of the season.
As a backup.
Yeah, for most of the season.
Yeah, he was as a backup, though. Like, how were you the number 1 ranked running back even for 1 week as a backup running back?
Right.
As for Pro Football Focus. That alone right there should just tell you that whether it's Melvin Gordon or not Melvin Gordon, this team has better weapons than Sterling Shepard, who doesn't really perform that well. He's got some talent. He's going to probably be a better receiver in his later years, but right now he's nothing compared to Keenan Allen or Mike Williams. Golden Tate, really explosive receiver, can make some big plays. Nothing compared to Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen's way faster off the ball, has way better hands, way better footwork. And I would say the real battle is Evan Ingram versus Hunter Henry. Those guys are pretty close to each other in my mind, so that right there, you can't really argue. The real argument is Saquon Barkley, Melvin Gordon. Barkley's a more explosive running back and make a lot of big plays, but I'd say Melvin Gordon's the more effective running back, whereas he'll get you those 10 yards, that powerful 5-yard run. But to say that Giants is better than the Chargers, I mean, was this guy drinking? Because if he was, he better share that Jack Daniels.
Well, I don't think he's going to share. But I do agree with what you're saying, just because, hey, you know, you can make the argument for Hunter Henry versus Evan Ingram, even though Ingram's had his own injury issues and inconsistencies as well. I had him on my fantasy team last year. I know all about it. But you can't argue about the receivers. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. I would take Mike Williams and Keenan Allen over both of those guys, Golden Tate and Sterling Shepard.
So
to me, that's where it really falls off. And I honestly think even the Cowboys, I mean, you saw some really big games out of Amari Cooper last year, but you also saw some really silent games from Amari Cooper as well. I know the big ones stand out more, and he had some huge ones, but I don't know if the Cowboys' offensive arsenal is, you know, five spots above the Chargers. They're using Jason Witten as a plus, the guy who just couldn't broadcast for ESPN, so he went back to the Cowboys. I mean, I just don't see that as a plus for them. Their second receiver is Michael Gallup. I think he has still a lot of, you know, room to go before he gets up there in the level of the guys that the Chargers have. And this is also based on me thinking that Mike Williams is just going to have a great year, David. And I think maybe that's part of the reason I feel so disrespected by this list. And I think the Chargers should as well. But I expect Mike Williams to be absolutely huge this season. And I think he's kind of the part where I feel disrespected on this.
Well, yeah, I think that you're right to feel that way, Daniel, because Mike Williams was, you know, probably the, you know, number two, number three guy last year. There was kind of an identity crisis for a little bit of the season because of the presence of Tyrell Williams. But this year, he's the clear number two. I mean, it's not up for debate. It's obviously Keenan Allen's the star. But I think Mike Williams is a budding star. I think he showed so much growth last year and just, you know, incredible in the red zone, making great acrobatic catches, making important catches in very key parts late in games. So I think Mike Williams, if he continues to show that growth with uptick in targets, I think the sky's the limit for Mike Williams. I think it's been really fun to watch his maturation, and I hope that it continues. But yeah, I for me, the one that kind of stuck out, I was looking at the list, is, you know, the Cleveland Browns are all the way down at number three. And I mean, they haven't even done anything together, like the trio that they're talking about. I mean, they're just talking about potential. So I don't know. It seems a bit high. But yeah, it's funny you brought up the Cowboys too. I mean, Jason Witten as a plus? Come on, man. That's like saying Antonio Gates is still a plus when we all know that's not the case.
No, taking shots at the great one.
Shots fired.
Be careful. Be careful, David. But, Gates saw me. Might come after you. The Browns are good. Browns have a good one.
The Browns deserve to be up there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they have more talent. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. is better than any Chargers offensive skill weapon. So that's, you know, at the top of it. I mean, their second best receiver, Jarvis Landry, is also really good. I mean, he's short yardage, but I mean, David Njoku, I'm not as high on. I think he's still pretty inconsistent, but I really like Nick Chubb a lot from what I saw from him last year. So I don't have as much of a problem with that, but I think that the Chiefs get a little bit too much love in this, to be honest. I mean, especially, you know, we don't know what's going on with the Tyreek Hill situation, but yes, I know Travis Kelce is awesome. I think Damian Williams is a big, you know, byproduct of the Andy Reid style of offense. I'm not going to knock him for that, but I don't think he's a hugely talented player as far as, you know, making them number two on this list type of a player. And I mean, after that, and the wide receivers, you don't really have very much. You have Mecole Hardman, who they just drafted this year, but is Carlos Hyde supposed to scare me? I'm not really sure about that. But hey, you know, Sammy Watkins, maybe, I don't know. But those they aren't names that really scream, hey, this is the best offensive arsenal
what
in the NFL.
Eagles?
The Eagles are up there. I mean,
I'm saying, like, what about the Eagles? Why are they that high?
I mean, you could make the argument. I think that they're overranked as well. Zach Ertz obviously is really good. I think Alshon Jeffrey is up and down, but is still a pretty good wide receiver. And I think they have good depth. I think that's where they get the Chargers. Their second, you know, tight end, Dallas Goedert, is better than our second string tight end. Their wide receiver depth goes a little bit deeper, but just kind of guys right there. I don't know. I think you can make an argument for the Chargers there as well. I do think they're a little bit too high up for my liking. I agree with you on that one. But hey, we still have one more segment to get into, and that's when we flip it over to the other side of the ball, which will be a much happier conversation because we're talking about the best defensive triplets in the NFL coming up right after this. All right, guys, time for the last segment of the day. Talking about a good list, a guy who really knows what he's talking about, a list that just makes way too much sense, by Bucky Brooks. And this is a list I can get behind, guys, because this is the best defensive triplets. And I might be sounding so positive because I'm not even sure I totally agree with this, but I have some asterisks by it. But this is the best defensive triplets in the NFL. So obviously, the Chargers have a bunch of great players defensively, but they come up number one on this list with the combination of Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, and Derwin James. So, John, before I even get into the other teams that show up on this list, I know me and you are on the same page as, hey, that might not even be the best defensive trio on the Chargers, let alone the NFL.
Well, yeah, me being Jatavius Brown and Michael Davis is obviously
Shut
way better.
The hell up. That's something I would say.
But you got to add Desmond King into this. What bothers me on this list is if you go all the way down to the Rams, they actually add an or to their list. They have three players and they add an or to add a fourth name. The Chargers list just says Bosa, Ingram, Derwin James. There should be a or Desmond King in this situation, because for me personally, it's Bosa, Desmond King, and Derwin James as the best trio on the Chargers defensively. The fact that Desmond King doesn't even get an or in this is major disrespect to Desmond King. The way he's able to cover guys, break on routes, and get interceptions is more of an impact in my mind than Melvin Ingram is, because with Melvin Ingram, personally, doesn't do as much without Joey Bosa nowadays, whereas Desmond King is himself. He's that guy that's covering guys in space and breaking on routes and reading wide receivers.
Well, they both play positions that, you know, hugely influence games defensively. I mean, what do you need now in this NFL? It's not as much about getting giant linebackers and defensive tackles. You need guys who can cover, and you need guys who can get after the quarterback. And Melvin Ingram didn't do that in a lot of opportunities last season. You know, he ended up with 7.5 sacks, which is not what you would have expected, knowing he's going to just be rushing like crazy. But I agree. I think Desmond King, I mean, has just been awesome. And I would say Desmond King, Derwin James, Joey Bosa, that's the one that would be the right choice for this list, in my opinion. But, David, I mean, only, you know, 2 years ago, I mean, Casey Hayward would be on this list, you know, and that's not even a guy we're talking about right now. So the Chargers, besides just even being defensive triplets, are just extremely ridiculously loaded in general.
Well, yeah, and I mean, who knows after this year? You might be adding Jerry Tillery to that list. You might be adding Nazir Adderley to that list. Oh. I mean, there's so much potential on this young, hungry Chargers defense. There's a lot of names and a lot of guys that have just tremendous motors. I mean, even a guy like Uchenna Nwosu, who we saw flashes out of, I mean, he can rush the passer. If he gets over 10 sacks, you might throw him in this conversation. So I just think this shines very brightly on the total package that the Chargers defense is going to present this year and hopefully many years to come.
And speaking of the total package, if Uchenna Nwosu gets 10-plus sacks, I will do the next show after in my underwear. Just kidding. I do every show in my underwear.
No, let's do it.
It's too late. I do every show in my underwear. That's not an occasion. That's not a bet. You can't bet something I do every time.
All
anyways.
All three of us got to do it.
You never know. Anyways. Yeah, everyone's doing it. BlueChew.com. But.
Take a BlueChew and then do it. Again.
Yeah, that's exactly. Well, I'll take BlueChew and then do. Never mind. This is going to be some sort of, you know, HR conflict. Yeah. But anyways, but let's get back to this list and talk about the other guys that show up on this list. The Cowboys come up at number two with DeMarcus Lawrence and linebackers Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch, who had a really good season last year as a rookie. Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, and Eddie Jackson come in third from the Bears. And I honestly think that one might be the best in the NFL. Me personally, I think just those three guys are all ridiculously talented. I thought Eddie Jackson was the best safety in the NFL last year. You have a guy in the interior of the defensive line that can cause havoc, and then everyone knows how good Khalil Mack is. 12.5 sacks after he got traded from the Raiders last year. Almost had as many sacks as the Raiders did as a team by himself. But and after that comes Aaron Donald, Dante Fowler Jr., and Marcus Peters, or Eric Weddle, the big or that John was pissed off about, coming at four. Then, John, I know you thought this one was too low. Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, and Chris Strap Harris Jr., the Broncos, coming in at fifth.
Yeah, that's a good pass rushing duo. That's a great pass rushing duo with one of the top corners in the league, and they have them all the way down at five. I mean, I agree with you about how the Bears could possibly be the best one on this list, and then I would put the Broncos at number two and the Chargers at three. That's how I would do this list. The Broncos trio right here is absolutely ridiculous and is only going to get better with Chubb getting better, Von Miller getting more athletic, and Chris Harris is one of the best at covering.
Von Miller's going to get more athletic?
Yeah, he's going to become more athletic every single year.
Von Miller.
Yeah, the more you train, the more better you become.
The older that you get, the less athletic. Man,
you're always fighting against Father Time, my friend. I mean, that athleticism is going to go eventually.
Ask Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, the picture of athleticism.
Yeah, he's getting more and more athletic every year. He's somehow able to throw a ball, run around, get hit, and
little different.
Back up.
Anyway. No, he plays quarterback.
Anyways.
Not much different, man, because there's still a bunch of ligaments in there that can get torn in that arm. But anyway, Von Miller, with all his training, will become more faster, more stronger, which means he's becoming more athletic. So he's going to become a better player as it goes on. Bradley Chubb, still learning. And Chris Harris covers great every year. How is this five? The fact that this is five, even over the fact that you have the Rams with Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters does not deserve to be in this trio list. He's not the same guy as he was with the Chiefs anymore. And Eric Weddle, if you want to talk about Father Time, Eric Weddle's starting to get Father Time. He's just a great leader and can make pretty good reads on the defense to adjust him. But as far as being the same talented player, he's not the same talented player. I only see two really good guys out of the Rams right here. The fact that the Broncos are five bothers the crap out of me.
I think you could make the argument that the Broncos, Chargers, or Bears could each be number one. I mean, Chris Harris is always a pain in Phillip Rivers' ass every single season. And who knows if the Chargers even beat the Broncos in Week 17 if Chris Harris was on the field. I mean, that's how much of an impact that guy's been able to have. And he's a great player. And I like Akeem Hicks just a lot. I think that's the difference maker in that group. As far as that third guy, I would rather have him than Melvin Ingram. He's had over 7 sacks on the interior each of the past 3 seasons. I mean, that's what Melvin Ingram did last year, but on the inside with the ability to wreck the running game as well. So that guy is one of the greats on the interior. And I think maybe it's just the Chargers lacking so much recently on the interior that makes me, you know, look at that and just wish that that could be us. But it's not. Not yet. Jerry Tillery. We'll see. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. We will be back with you guys later on the week getting into another position group breakdown. We wanted to do another show talking about Melvin Gordon and let John give his takes and, you know, these articles, which I'm glad that we talked about. And we'll see how they all play out. But until next time, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing wherever you get your podcast from. Tune in, Google Podcasts, Himalaya Podcasting app, you name it. That'll get you the podcast the fastest possible way. But we will talk to you. And if you guys want to get your voice on the show, make sure to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. And whoever gave our phone number to the robot that's been asking us for intimate relations, that's a good joke, guys. We really appreciate that. But you can be the next voice on the Locked On Chargers voicemail line at 323-524-7924. Every voice except for the one I just previously mentioned gets on the show, and we want to have a voicemail soon. We want to have a voicemail show soon, guys, so make sure you get them in there so you can get your voice on the Locked On Chargers podcast. But we will talk to you guys later. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.